everyone. Welcome back to today's episode. I'm your host, Lisa Vanderkwak, and I'm excited for you to be here today because you're going to hear from a woman talking about a subject that is not talked about a lot, especially in faith-based circles and particularly in areas where we talk about, you know, fulfilling our calling and healing from the effects of experiences that we've had. It's one of those subjects, and we're going to talk about it today in the context of marriage and how you don't need to be held back by the effects of porn in your family, in your marriage, in people in your own life. And she's going to share a very poignant, I'm sure, vulnerable story about how she walked through her own feelings of betrayal. So I want to welcome to the stage here Kirsten Samuel.
Hi, Lisa. It's wonderful to be here with you.
It is so great to meet you and to have you on the show today. I'm looking forward to our conversation, and thank you so much for your courage and your vulnerability to share this important subject. So I'm just going to formally introduce you here to my listeners so they know who you are, where you're coming from. So and I did have your bio, and let me just pull it up again here. It's kind of one of those things. So Kirsten grew up in a Christian home in a small town, USA, surrounded by a large extended family group. And in the midst of her marriage, she discovered, or I guess it was discovered, that her husband was involved with porn. And Kirsten has a deep understanding of the pain and confusion that comes with discovering a spouse's porn addiction. As a coach now, she's helped countless, I don't know where the word thousands came from, but countless women find their inner strength, regain their confidence, and create a healthy and fulfilling future. Kirsten's expertise in this field has earned her numerous speaking engagements and media appearances, including features on the Focus on the Family, Chris Fabry Live on the Moody Radio Network. Her clients are empowered to rediscover their own identity and hope for a brighter tomorrow beyond the partner's addiction. Kirsten is on a mission to help 100,000 women who have struggled with their partner's pornography use navigate how to move on and create confidence so that they can create a healthy path forward. And she wants to accomplish this by 2030. So glad to have you on the show.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
And I know that you have been speaking on this subject for a while, and I'd love to know a little bit about let's just start at the beginning. How this all came out. First of all, how long were you married, and how, when this happened, and how did you discover this? And we'll go from there.
Well, we had been married 25 years. We had just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, and we had launched our last child into college. We were looking forward to the empty nest years. And before we go any further, I want to say that my husband has always been a very loving and attentive man, and so this came out of left field for me. He was actually worked for an international ministry organization during that time, and they caught him looking at some things that were inappropriate while he was at work, and this was against their policies. And so he came home from work one day, and things were not right. And he just dropped that on me, saying that it was very likely he was going to lose his job the next day. And I was just stunned. And I just didn't understand what was coming. And then he dropped the bombshell. Mm-hmm. And that was, he said to me, it was a moral failure. And I said, what do you mean? And as he proceeded, the only word I heard in those next few sentences was the word pornography. Mm. And my world just shattered.
Mm-hmm.
I collapsed.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm in the zone of everything now seems like it's in this fog. Like you're just like, what am I really in this zone?
Yes.
So you mentioned that he was a very loving, attentive husband. Yes. So when you look back now, were there any signs to you along the way?
That's a great question, Lisa, and it's one I get from a lot of women that I speak with, and there were. Mm-hmm. In fact, because I get that question so many times, I did put together a short download that's free for anybody. It's called 10 Warning Signs Your Gut Already Knows.
Fantastic.
And I looked back. That was one of the things that when we met with the first people that we reached out to get some help. Mm-hmm. That was my question too. I said, how did I not know? And they said, well, you did. And as you look back, you'll be able to see what those warning signs were. Mm. And so they were there. Mm-hmm. But because of, you know, he's such a warm, loving man, mm-hmm. that those signs just, I didn't put them together.
Yeah.
I didn't want, they were like, well, maybe he's just having a bad day, mm-hmm. you know, type thing. No, they were there. They were signs that I just didn't pick up on.
Yeah. And like you said, you know, there's things that go on and the positive outweigh, you know, any hints of, oh, maybe something's not right, because we always believe the best, right? And,
right.
and we have
right.
a good relationship. Absolutely. And it's often that way. It's in retrospect that we look back. So what are some things that you want to communicate today? Well, first of all, before we go there, actually, so what happened from there? Were you able to work through this, or how did this all turn out for you?
Yes. Well, I love to tell the end of the story first, because most people will tell you that when you discover this, that's it. Your marriage is over. Mm-hmm. You know, you might as well just start dividing things up right now.
Yeah.
And I want to say it doesn't have to be the case. And it wasn't in my case. I am still married to the same man by name, but he is a totally different man by character and nature.
Cool.
Just like I am.
Yes, yes.
So I love the fact that we submitted to a plan to get counseling, to get intensive coaching. Mm. And God didn't give us back the marriage that I thought was good. He gave me a brand new one that is so much better.
Wow.
So that's the end of the story. So we are still married. We did reach out for help. We did go through intensive counseling. And the cool thing in this whole story is, Lisa, as I looked back and as I started to write the story, because I felt just compelled that there were others that needed to hear that mm-hmm. there is a way through this.
Yeah.
That God had put people in our path that we were not even aware of until we needed them. And then, you know, in those initial moments of panic and fear and anger and just disbelief and that fog, like you mentioned, that rolled in, a name would come to mind. Mm. And we'd make the call. And sure enough, when we talked with that person, they had the next step for us.
Mm.
And that first couple that we talked to gave us the piece of hope that I needed to hold on to. Mm. And that was, this does not have to be fatal.
Mm.
And that was kind of my lifeline for a long time. This does not have to be fatal. And then we were able to, the next morning, my husband met the gentleman who was able to help him lay out a plan that he could take back to his company and say, here's what I'm willing to do. And I want to heal. I want to get over this. Mm-hmm. And they allowed him to keep his job because of this plan. Now,
wonderful.
Now that all happened in less than, you know, 15 hours.
Wow.
So like I said, God had put these people in our path and we didn't even know that we needed them.
Wow. It's like a life preserver just got thrown.
Exactly. It was that rope that we needed to hang on.
Exactly. Exactly. You felt like you were drowning. I love how God does that. It, you know, just at the right moment, like he says, he gives us exactly what we need to walk through whatever's in front of us. So I know that that was probably, I love the story. I love the end of the story for sure, in terms of the fact that you both were able to work through it and come out stronger, come out better in terms of even more, you know, intimate, closer together, I'm sure. But what are some of the things that you want women to know? Because I know you work with women a lot who have experienced a similar kind of betrayal. And what are some of the things that you want women to know if they're faced with this today?
First of all, it's not your fault.
Mm.
So many women call their first, one of their first questions to me is, what did I do wrong? You didn't. Because pornography is not about sex. And it's not about you. It's like any kind of an addiction, any kind of a struggle that we just run to when we're, it's, as our counselor put it, it's a medication of choice. Something is going on within the person who is feeling drawn to porn, where the porn for the moment soothes whatever that is, meets that incredible need. So first of all, we've got to understand that we have to put, we have to understand that, that it's not, you didn't cause this. You didn't, you know, unless you stuck it right in his face and forced him to watch it and you know, held his taped his eyelids open. You didn't cause this.
You know, that's such a good affirmation there. I love that, that you started with that, because it's true. Women would, I mean, the first thing you would say, well, you know, what's wrong with me? Was I able to satisfy you in any way? Was I able to meet you in that place? You know, whether it be a betrayal through pornography or an affair, it would be the similar thing that women would feel. And so I'm so glad you started with that. That is very powerful.
Yes. The second thing is, it's going to be a lot of work, but you can recover. So it's completely up to you. That's where you have control. You don't have control over him. You have control over you. And when I could get to that point where I could say, I'm going to be okay no matter what happens, because I understood my foundation. I understood when I could finally anchor myself in Christ and say that, no matter what happens, God's got me and he's not going to let me go. Then, and only then, and I then I got out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do the work he needed to do in my husband, just like he was doing in me. Because while I didn't cause the porn and while I wasn't the one looking at it, my husband was, I was dealing with the aftershocks of it. I was dealing with the fallout of it. We had to, I mean, I'm not going to lie to anybody and say that this was an easy process and it didn't happen overnight. The statistics tell us that it takes anywhere from 18 months to 5 years for a woman to recover from the aftershocks of porn, of discovering her partner's porn use. So this is not a, you know, do step A, B, C, and D and bang, you're done. This is a daily choice. But you can do it. It's not fatal unless you make it fatal. Right. There's your choice right there. So, and then the third thing is, you are significant. I want every woman to hear that. You are significant simply because you exist on this earth. You were created in God's image. You know, we hear that fancy term, Imago Dei. That simply means we're created in God's image. Therefore, we have significance, not only on this earth, but it's eternal. Nobody can take that away from you. So yes, this hurts. It hurts deeply. I mean, there's words fail to describe the level of this pain, but it doesn't mean that you don't matter. You do. You are significant. God sees you. I see you. And you will recover. You will come through this. And you are beautiful. You know, I don't care if you haven't lost the baby weight yet. You're beautiful. I don't care if, you know, your hair's gone gray. You're still beautiful. You are significant. We need you. You're important. And you're going to come through this. And I want women to grab that and hold on to it, that your significance has nothing to do with your husband's struggle.
You know, I'm just thinking of women who know, and it's that their husband is addicted to porn and they're in the marriage, but there is this unhealthy, unhealthy kind of like closed door, the closet, we'll just keep that closet closed where there's no discussion about it. And it just becomes a part of their life. And yet they carry around some effects. Or have you worked with women in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the effects that happen, or some of the challenges that arise when you walk in that dysfunction?
First of all, carrying that kind of secret is exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
You can't mm-hmm. carry it. There's a reason that God says to be honest, to live authentically. Because trying to remember, I think it was Mark Twain who said, made a statement about, you know, about the difficulty of maintaining all of the lies,
mm-hmm.
maintaining all of the secrets. It is so much easier to tell the truth. Yeah. Now, it is, in this case, you're not going to tell it to just anybody. You need to find a safe person. Now, that safe person could be your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not going to be a family member, just because that family member is too close. Not that they wouldn't support you, not that they don't love you, not that they wouldn't want to help, but find that safe person. Keeping the secret is not helping you, nor is it helping him. It is not a healthy dynamic in your relationship. It is an unhealthy, almost building a codependent type relationship. Mm-hmm. And we want to build a healthy relationship. You want to be in a relationship with your husband where there's nothing between the two of you. Well, pornography is between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's bringing another person, whether that's real or imagined, into your relationship. And so you cannot develop intimacy when there's something in the way. So I want women to know, if you don't have anybody else to talk to, you can talk to me.
Hmm.
I've been there. I've done it. I've walked it. My husband and I every day make the choice that we are going to work really hard on our relationship, that we are going to have those hard conversations, and we're going to talk about things. But you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping it silent is hurting you. The second thing is, you will start to have physical symptoms.
Hmm.
There's a book called The Body Keeps the Score, where this is a study of what happens to people who have undergone severe trauma or have addictive, you know, addictions in their past or something like this that are unresolved. And it is proven that the body will start dealing with whatever you're pushing down. Mm-hmm. It's going to start dealing with. You're going to have physical symptoms. You could have symptoms like you're having a heart attack, and it's stress. It's the stress from keeping the secret.
Hmm.
I love to give the illustration to women when they tell me, but I just can't, I can't confront this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've all played with beach balls, right? And we pop them up in the air. They're all filled with air. They're not heavy, but we pop them up in the air. Well, how many of us have taken that beach ball and tried to hold it underneath the water? In a pool or in a lake or in the ocean or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you try to do that?
Just keeps popping up.
It pops up, and there's an explosion of water that comes mm-hmm. with it. And when it pops up, you don't get to control how it pops up.
Mm-hmm.
So when you've discovered something like this, like I said, you're not going to blab this to the world, but you're going to find that first person that you can talk to and say, I need help. I need help. We need help. And I encourage you to ask your husband if he's willing to get help. Can you get help together? There are some wonderful Christian counselors out there that deal with this specific problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always happy to give a recommendation, but they're out there. You can go to Focus on the Family's website and search their counselor list and be really specific, and they will identify counselors in your area that are in that specialist. And I recommend people do that all the time. But if you need a source, I'm happy to be, you know, somebody reaches out to you, Lisa, you can just say it to me and I'll give you the name. I mean, it's, you know,
yeah,
but get the help that you need. Keeping it silent is only going to start causing things. It ruins your trust. Mm-hmm. It breaks your relationships with other people because you can't be honest with them either. You can't be honest with other people. You're hiding this secret and you're so mm-hmm. afraid of that. Well, you're going to have increased anxiety. When we finally got our counseling session, we went through intensive marriage counseling. I found out I had an anxiety disorder.
Mm.
And this is very normal from what I've studied, where women who are dealing with and trying to hide this problem within their marriage, they start having these other issues going on.
Mm.
The Gottman Institute has done a lot of research on relationships. And one of the statistics they put out is it takes 6 years for most couples dealing with a major issue in their marriage to seek help. Well, why do we have to wait 6 years and allow all that damage to go on before we're willing to raise our hand and just say, can someone help me?
Mm-hmm.
Best thing I ever did.
Yeah, it's like the hardest thing for people, but yet it's the most freeing and necessary once you do it. So, yeah, that's so powerful to be able to receive help. I think a lot of people struggle with that because, again, they project it onto something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. You know, it means that I'm somehow flawed.
Right. When
in fact, you know, the only way God's going to get the glory is if we if we access all that we need in him, like it says that, you know, our weakness is a portal for his strength. And so we have to recognize that without him, we cannot go through this life and survive, really. And that's what makes us different, is that we have the source of life himself to give us everything we need if we ask. And sometimes that comes through people. Often it comes through people that come alongside. So I love what you're saying there. And really encouraging women to break the silence, for their own health as well, and freedom, mentally, emotionally, physically, even, so important, and to have someone to do that. So I want to encourage you, if you're listening today, and if you don't have someone, you can't identify someone in your life, reach out to Kirsten at, we'll give her, put her website down below in a minute here and put it across the screen. And so that you can reach out to her and just ask her questions, or she'll give you some resources and direct you in the right way. But someone, you need someone.
Absolutely. You need someone.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing is it does affect you spiritually. And I think that was the most surprising part, Lisa, of my recovery, was realizing that I went into a spiritual crisis with this discovery. And the consequence of fallout. I mean, I'm giving you the tip of the story.
Sure.
But, I went into a spiritual crisis, and it was during that time that I was literally wrestling with God and wondering if he even really cared at that point, because that pain was so intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I heard him ask me one question that has forever changed me. And that question was, am I who I say I am or not? And the verse that always comes to mind, and that came to mind eventually as I was wrestling with this question, was Peter's declaration that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. If where would we go without you?
So good.
But when you answer that question, however you answer it, if you answer that, yes, God, you are the one, you are it, you are who you say you are, well, then is he strong enough to get you through this?
Mm-hmm.
Will his grace hold you? Will his forgiveness, will his strength infuse you?
Mm-hmm.
You have to, there's a lot of ramifications of how you answer that question. If you say no, then what do you have? What do you have?
Mm-hmm. That's so good, because, you know, people can be listening to you today and say, you know, I'm just not as strong as you, Kirsten.
I was not strong.
But no. What I hear you saying is your strength comes from the fact that you wrestled through those hard questions to come to a place to allow God to be your source of all that you needed. Is that correct?
Yes. And to discover that God was so much greater than who I thought he was. And that, and you used this term, Lisa, just a minute ago, the freedom.
Mm-hmm.
when I finally just said, okay, I have no clue if I'm going to survive this.
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue if our marriage is going to survive this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my husband can walk away from the struggle that he's mm-hmm. been having with porn for many, many years. I don't have the answers to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that terrifies me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to throw myself onto God and say, you're the only thing that I can throw my trust on.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I don't even know if I can trust you. But if I can't trust you, then there's no point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted my life to have purpose. And I'll tell you, in that moment, Lisa, Jesus met me right there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I've been standing here right all along. I'm right in front of you. And God speaks to me in pictures. He gives me pictures. And at that moment, like I said, I grew up in a very loving Christian home in a small town with a daddy who loved me. And in that moment, it was like my daddy picked me up, put me on his lap, but this was God. And he put my head against his chest so I could hear his heartbeat. And he said, I'm right here and I always have been.
Hmm.
And I knew in that moment that even though I didn't know the answer to any of those questions, that I was going to be okay. But that was the point of my decision. Am I going to trust God mm-hmm. or not? So it wasn't even really about my husband. It was about mm-hmm. God. And that was the spiritual crisis, was mm-hmm. getting to that point.
Yeah. And I think as so many go through that, you know, in any kind of loss or betrayal or thing that is devastating in some way, it really cuts to the core of what are the foundations that we have in our faith, and do we really believe what we say we believe? And you know, in terms of, and what I have discovered, and what I hear you saying as well, is that when you decide to trust God and let Him show Himself to you as trustworthy, then something gets embedded in your soul. He reveals the nature of His character that you didn't know before. I mean, you knew it in your head, but now you know it deep down, and no one can take it away from you.
Yeah, exactly. You get your anchor. You're there. Mm-hmm. You know, I hit bedrock at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to drill down through all the mess. And when I finally hit bedrock, then it was like, okay, now. And that was when I took my first deep breath. Was, mm. oh, you're here.
Mm.
I am not alone. And I never was alone, but I thought I was.
Sure. Yeah. Because in those moments, you feel helpless. You feel hopeless because you don't know your whole world is collapsing around you. And so, you know, all that you trusted in is now being shattered to some degree, right? So mm-hmm. yeah, it's like a total rebuild. So Kirsten, just as we close up here, a few things. As one is I love that you are now using your pain and turning it into a purpose in terms of helping other women, which is so powerful because that's the place of, you know, greatest anointing and authority that we walk in when we're able mm-hmm. to overcome. And does your husband also join you in this in terms of, does he work with men or how does he feel about all this?
He does. We do couples coaching together.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm a coach. I'm not a counselor. So mm-hmm. I'm really clear on that. I'm not a coach. I'm not a counselor. I work with other counselors. You know, I refer people to other counselors. But yes, we do coach together. A lot of times we speak together to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
I love to have him when I'm speaking. I love to have him with me because I like to point him out to the women in the room, and they can see that what I'm saying about this brand new relationship is there.
Right.
Because they're watching him, and, you know, and I love the fact that I'm married to the same guy. We're coming up on 42 years of marriage.
Wow.
Which is a miracle because at 25 years, it was not looking good. But he is a totally different man than who I married. And I'm very different
mm-hmm.
than who he married. And it's all because of the work that God did in us
right.
so to good. cut to redeem our story so that it's part of his story, because that's all of our stories are part of his story.
Yeah.
They're not, I don't tell this story for my sake. I don't, every time I tell it, I get tears in my eyes because the pain comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember that it's God's story of grace and redemption and forgiveness lived out in me.
Yeah.
And if I can help one woman understand she's not alone, that she has hope, that her future can be so different than her today,
mm-hmm.
it's worth telling the story.
That's so good. Thank you so much, Kirsten, for your courage, but also your yes to God to be able to be a voice of influence for those who need hope, who mm-hmm. need a way out, who need someone to say to them, you're going to get through this. It doesn't have to end. It doesn't have to end here. And just like someone came to you, mm-hmm. that you now can be that voice to them. Thank you so much. I know that you have a free resource you mentioned at the beginning, and I'm going to put it up here on the screen. It'll also go down below. Go to kirstendsamuel.com/10 warning signs. I'll put it down below. And as you mentioned, do you want to just say anything more about that?
No, it's just it's a free PDF download. You'll have to give me your first name and your email just to mm-hmm. get it. It is some of those things that it was like when I looked back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my husband didn't have all of them. Some of these were from others I researched, but there were several in there that as I looked back, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to say, if you see some of these, your husband's looking at porn.
Right.
I want you to pay attention,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because not everybody who has some of these things is looking at porn. I don't mm-hmm. want to say that. And I would never say that. But, and on my website, there is a ton of free resources. Please take advantage of them. There's also, if, like I said, if you don't know where to start, there's a contact form there. Just send me a message and I'll help you get started on finding someone that can help if it's, you know, if it's not me. Mm-hmm. Or if it is me, whatever, it's fine. I just want you to get help. You're not alone. This isn't your fault.
Mm-hmm.
You are eternally significant. You matter. And I see you.
Mm.
God beautiful. Loves you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Kirsten. I appreciate you so much. And thank you so much for everyone listening in today. And I want to encourage you to go to her website. And if not now, at some point you may need the resource. If not for yourself, then for someone in your world that might need you to throw them a life preserver, a life reserver. What do you call those things? The little round thing, lifesaver in the water to be able to pull you out and where you feel like you are drowning because of maybe the shock and awe of news that you've received regarding betrayal or some kind of addiction that your spouse is in. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage you to check out Kirsten's resources and share this episode with those you love and those you care about who may need to hear this story of hope and inspiration, how God is a God of redemption. It doesn't have to end in devastation. And part of it is you being willing to take the step, first of all, to say, I need help, or we need help. And so I'm encouraged today, and I want to encourage you, if you're listening today and you know that you are being called to be a voice of influence, I want to encourage you to check out the resource down below for the Kingdom Speaker Academy. I'm on a mission to raise up women across the globe to dream bigger, to build wealth through kingdom-minded mentorship, leadership, develop your speaking skills. Because listen, your speaking skills are an asset in any industry. But I believe that God has given you a voice to transform lives. It is out of your story, out of your ability to communicate those things and learn how to communicate them in a way that people's lives are transformed. And so I want to encourage you. You know, I came from a background where I was terrified to speak, but I discovered that if I was willing to learn some skills, I can become a half-decent speaker, and so can you. And so I want to encourage you, if you are interested, we are starting up our next round here in a couple of weeks. Look down below for Kingdom Speaker Academy, as well as a whole lot of other courses that you can take to up-level your skills as a leader as a coach, as a consultant, as a speaker. Thank you, everyone. We look forward to seeing you in our next episode. And remember that your voice is a vehicle of transformation and needs to be heard.